Now, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Tammy Eckhart. I have been coming to church here for, gosh, about, I've lost count, 13 or 14 years. I am married to Grant, who you've sometimes seen preaching up here as well. We are parents of two preteen boys, Grayson and Tobias. They're home this morning because they just spent an entire week at camp and they're exhausted. So they're going to be watching from online. So good morning, boys. For the last 20 years, I have also worked with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. So that last announcement was a little bit of a shameless plug. But really, if you are able to stick around after service next week, we certainly would all love to be able to chat with you. But yes, for the last 20 years, I've had the gift and privilege to work in college ministry with college students. I certainly never thought that I would have made a career of this work, but here I am. As we jump into our sermon series, we are in the third week of our series called Introducing the Holy Spirit. Introducing the Holy Spirit. This is week three. Today, we are going to look at the gift-giving nature of the Holy Spirit. Now, when I was preparing for today's message, I was reminded of one of my experiences on the first day back at school after winter break. All right. So most of the kids that I went to school with, they celebrated Christmas, even if it was just culturally. And the first day back at school, what is everybody doing? Like, what are all the middle school, high school kids doing after winter break? They're showing off their stuff, new outfits, yes, that like new North Face jacket that they got, Doc Martens are really back in and they're actually back in now. Everyone is like showing off all of their new stuff. I remember looking at the kids with like their North Face jacket, their new clothes from the Gap, their new Doc Martens, and I'm being like, wow. Didn't you like have something new yesterday? Like you have another new thing today? And they're like, yeah, this is like part of my Christmas. And I was like, oh, who's it from? And they'd be like, oh, these are from my parents. And I'm like, your parents got you more than one gift? I thought a gift exchange is like one person gives a gift for another person and another person gives another. Like your parents give you multiple gifts. Huh. And like name brand stuff, like expensive stuff. My mom, when she went shopping, she didn't buy anything unless it was like 50% off. Okay. So that either meant it was from a few seasons ago or it was like a really weird color that nobody wanted. Okay. It's just the truth. Mom, she may be out here. I love you. You're a great mom. Now, when I asked my sister if she could remember the best gift that she got as a child or that she received from our parents, you know what she told me? She said, socks and pajamas, right? That's the kind of family that we grew up in. Like, and as I said, no shade to my mom. I have learned that gift giving is just not my mom's love language, nor is it her spiritual gift. Here's the thing. I think our experience of the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts can sometimes be a little bit like this experience that I am describing. When we think about the Holy Spirit and receiving spiritual gifts, we might be a little concerned that we get socks and pajamas, a gift that we maybe don't really want. Or we look at the gift that someone else received, that really awesome-looking new ski jacket, and we're thinking, God, I wish I had gotten that instead. That looks way cooler. Or maybe we love our socks and pajamas. They're actually the very thing that we wanted, but we don't actually realize that there could be more that could be received. So think about that. And maybe where you fall in the midst of those categories, or if there's another category that kind of rises up in you as you think about spiritual gifts and receiving gifts from the Holy Spirit. So with that, let's turn to our text, which is in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 12 this morning, and see how it might inform our thinking about the Holy Spirit as gift giver. If you're able, I invite you to stand for our reading of today's passage from 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 12. We'll read it together. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were Gentiles, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of powerful deeds. To another, prophecy. To another, discernment, spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Let this word fill our minds, flow from our mouths, and free our hearts to live as the beloved children of God. Please feel free to be seated. So the title of today's sermon is The Gift-Giving Holy Spirit. We see in 1 Corinthians that Paul is writing a letter to the church in Corinth. Now, Corinth was one of the most eclectic cities in the Roman Empire. It was a port city, so all kinds of people came and went. It was a melting pot of cultures. The main characteristic of the city was its diversity. Ethnic diversity, different religious practices, all kinds of different vocational pursuits. This creates an environment where everyone is searching for identity and using their identity to be distinct. When I think of ancient Corinth, I think of a modern-day city like New York City. A port city, incredibly diverse. All kinds of people doing all kinds of different things, following all kinds of different things, and searching for identity. What makes me who I am and unique? Well, this is the environment in which the Church of Corinth finds themselves. And they are struggling with unity. There are deep divisions within the community. We could say the same, probably, about our church today. Deep divisions in the community based on differences of values or gifts. Now, specifically in the Corinthian church, people were having these ecstatic experiences during worship services, okay? So during worship, things would happen where people would just start like seemingly seem to be outside of themselves and start speaking in tongues loudly. Multiple people, not everybody, but many, certainly enough to cause perhaps some disruption, at the very least to draw attention. part of the debate in the church was whether these people having these ecstatic experiences and speaking in tongues, were they being influenced by the Holy Spirit or were they being influenced by another spirit? Kind of hard to discern sometimes. Is that the Spirit of God at work or is that something else at work? Now, another issue that this church was experiencing was this elevation of those who spoke in tongues as being more spiritual or being closer to God than others who didn't speak in tongues. Now, this wasn't an unusual thing necessarily. Lots of different religions valued people who had these kind of like ecstatic sort of supernatural experiences and viewed them as being like uber spiritual, right? There's something like special about them that they have this kind of experience, right? So that was the same thing that was happening in the church. These people were viewed as being closer to God, being special in a particular way because of these experiences that were happening. Now, Paul addresses both of these issues in chapter 12. Paul writes, concerning spiritual gifts, my friends, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be blind. Before you became a follower of Jesus, you were often led astray by idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus or claim Jesus as Lord. So Paul gives them this very simple test. You want to know if someone is operating by God's Spirit or if they're operating by some other spirit? Well, can they truthfully claim Jesus as Lord? If they can, Paul is saying, then the Holy Spirit is at work in them. There's three things that I want to draw our attention to about this gift-giving Holy Spirit. The first is that the Holy Spirit gives and equips differently. The Holy Spirit gives and equips differently. If you read through 1 Corinthians 12, Paul lists at least 9 different gifts here. In other passages, like in Romans 12, 6 through 8, we see different types of gifts included that aren't included in 1 Corinthians 12. There are yet also other passages in the Old Testament, like in Exodus 31, that describe yet another type of gift. Gifts that come with skill, with the ability to engage in artistic work and craftsmanship for the purpose of God's glory. So we see a variety of different gifts being utilized. And I remember as a young Christian trying to study spiritual gifts in the Bible and trying to like list and categorize them all and figure out all the different spiritual gifts. Like, has anybody ever done that? You know, or sat in a sermon, you kind of, like, what are different spiritual gifts that are present? I remember doing that, thinking like, okay, I'll have the list and I'll know like what all the spiritual gifts are. As I've looked back upon that, I realized that the identification of different spiritual gifts in the Bible is actually not so we can have this exhaustive list for the Holy Spirit to choose from. Like, okay, here's the list that you found in the Bible. And these are the options, like your menu. This is what the Holy Spirit can choose from. No, that is not true. The Holy Spirit is not limited in that kind of way. Rather, the emphasis that we see in these first few verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is an emphasis on variety. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them for everyone. Mentioned 3 times the word variety to describe different gifts, different services, and different activities. Have you considered that the gifts that you might quintessentially attribute to being spiritual are just as valued and worthy as the gifts of activities, like craftsmanship, or the gifts of service, like showing mercy to someone, that they might all be part of the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given and equally valued? They are all from the same source, the triune God. Paul emphasizes here, in listing these varieties, God the Father, Jesus our Lord, and the Holy Spirit. Paul frames spiritual gifts within the context of the Trinity. In this divine three in one, where unity and diversity are held together in mystery. That is how spiritual gifts are to be understood, as coming from the Trinity, as held with distinction and also with unity, and operating in interdependence with one another. This image of the Holy Trinity is what holds gifts together. John Chrysostom is one of the early church fathers, and he wrote this: "Even if the gift bestowed upon you is less than the gift bestowed on someone else, the giver is the same, and therefore you have equal honor with him." You have equal honor with him. It is the same fountain from which you draw refreshment. The craftsman, the person who is able to speak in tongues, the one who shows mercy, they have equal honor in the eyes of God. So, the Holy Spirit gives and equips differently, but the honor is all the same. Because, and this is my second point, because the Holy Spirit gives generously. The word gift is used in verse 4. And the Greek word being used here is charismaton. It's where we get the words charismatic, charisma, and charism. The root word here means a favor bestowed or received without any merit. Without any merit. Meaning it's not earned, my friends. Spiritual gifts are gifts of grace given by a generous God. Okay, yes, we say, I like this idea, but I'd like to challenge you a little bit. Do you really? Are you really comfortable with this idea when push comes to shove? Because when I look at my own heart, I'm actually not very comfortable with gifts not being earned. I prefer it that way, that they would be earned. I'm more comfortable with the idea that the craftsman or woman worked hard to develop their skill than with the idea that the Spirit gave them a special gift to work with their hands. I prefer for gifts like leadership or prophecy or wisdom to be given to those who have proven themselves mature in the faith than to someone who started following Jesus a week ago. I'm just being honest. And so I'm a little challenged by this word. And perhaps you should be too. This idea that the Spirit gives generously and not on your terms or somebody else's terms, or not on somebody who you've deemed mature enough, or, shall I say, their life is right enough before God. That is not what the Scripture says, my friends. And here's the thing. The Spirit does not operate like we do with stipulations. We see in verse 11, all these are activated by one and the same Spirit who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. Just as the Spirit chooses. Not just as Tammy chooses, not just as Pastor John chooses, not as Pastor Rich chooses, not as any of us choose. It is the Spirit who gives as the Spirit chooses. So brief story. One of my inner varsity colleagues in January had sustained a knee injury that left her in really significant pain. She was sure her doctors were saying, you are going to need surgery, and this is likely going to limit your ability to run long distances. And she loved to run. Like, running was like a spiritual practice for her. It gave her so much life. So she was pretty devastated about this knee injury, and she was in significant pain, and she was just like depressed. But she went to this ministry conference that we were a part of. She went because she said, despite the pain, she's like, I wouldn't miss it for the world. So she just really, really wanted to be there. Now, while she was at this conference, there was some like prayer space and time. And in this prayer space, a college student came by her, like saw her leg. It was like all wrapped up in this brace thing, and asked if it would be okay to pray for her knee. So my friend had just received prayer like the previous night, okay, by some like colleagues and people who had been sitting by her. And it was a positive experience, but it didn't like change anything physically. And so this next day now, and the student comes up, she's thinking like, well, I just received prayer, but like, I don't want to like discourage this like young student, you know? So sure, you can pray for me. So she's like, yeah, you know, like you can pray for me. And the student was like, okay, how do I do that? Like, this student had never prayed for healing for anybody before, right? So my friend's like, oh, okay. This is where we're starting. All right. So they're like, well, okay, like, you know, we can like sit down, and then like, you know, if you feel comfortable, you could put your hand on my knee, like on this injury, and you know, you could say something like this, you know. And so literally my friend is like coaching this student who's never prayed for like healing for anybody before, like every step of the way. It's like kind of the least spiritual thing you could think of, right? You're like, oh, okay, that's whatever. Sure. You know, but she's like, again, she's wanting to not discourage the student. So the student's praying for her. My friend is coaching her along the way. She isn't expecting, my friend is not expecting anything. And so you can imagine her own shock and surprise when like her knee starts spasming. In this way, she like cannot control. And she is like, what the is going on right now? Like her knee is spasming as the student is praying for her. And then she feels her knee get really hot, like really, really, really hot. And she's like, what is going on? Right? And the student doesn't know what's going on either. And so they kind of like pause their prayer time. My friend's like, okay, it's possible that maybe like my knee was healed because these weird things are going on. So she tries to like walk a little bit, and she's like, I'm not experiencing pain. Like, she's able to move, you know, gingerly at first. You're kind of like testing it out. And then she's like, oh, I can put my full weight on my injured leg. And she is like, what happened? What happened? When she went to go see the doctor when she was back home, the doctor confirmed, you don't need surgery anymore. You don't need surgery anymore. You can run again. The doctor was like, well, don't run in the marathon that's coming up next week, but you still can't run in that. But you probably can run, like you can continue running. So imagine the joy that my friend was experiencing, in addition to the shock and surprise, as well as of this student, who, whether she received a gift of healing for an ongoing period or just in that moment, God gave that student this gift, right? Why was it that my friend wasn't healed the previous night when more experienced people had been praying for her? I have no idea. I don't know. But what I do know is this, and this is my third point. The Holy Spirit gives gifts for the common good. For the common good, right? For the good of my friend, for the good of that student, for the good of all of those who were there bearing witness, for the good of the many who heard this story, this testimony from since on. Now, the Corinthian church was really getting tripped up by associating different spiritual gifts with these different like levels of status. And their gifts became for personal gain. It made them prideful and puffed up. But Paul's emphasis in verse 7, that the gifts are for the benefit of the community, highlight that it's not for yourself. It is for others. Spiritual gifts are always given to be used, not to be hoarded, and to be used in such a way as to benefit the whole body of believers, not just the individual possessor of a gift. And this becomes a second criterion for whether someone is operating by the Holy Spirit or by another gift. Remember what I said at the beginning? Are they able to like profess Jesus as Lord, or do they curse God? Like, that's a really kind of foundational level of criteria, whether somebody is operating in God's Spirit or not. But here's a second that Paul introduces. Is this gift being exercised bringing self-affirmation and self-glory? Or is this gift profiting the community in a visible way? Because if it's the former, then you might examine what's happening with some suspicion. But if it is the latter and bringing profit to the community in a visible way, then likely this is a gift of God from the Holy Spirit for that person to benefit the community. So here's my big idea this morning. The Holy Spirit empowers every member of the church, every member, every single one of you seated here. Whether you are like 5 or 95, whether you became a Christian just recently or have been following Jesus for 50 years, whether you feel like you have your life together or not. The Holy Spirit empowers every single member of the church with gifts for the benefit of all. So, as we begin to wrap up, I want to highlight the last verse in chapter 12, one that we didn't look at together, but Paul writes this, "But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way." Spoiler alert, the more excellent way is the way of love, but that's for next week's sermon. So I'll focus on this first part of verse 31. What I'm struck by here is Paul's invitation to strive. Some translations say seek after, others say contend for. It's this sense of going after something and going after it hard. And what does Paul say to go after? The greater gifts. There's two implications that I see here. There is some kind of ranking of gifts, actually, but this ranking is not a measure of status. It is a measure of community benefit. There are some gifts, and Paul is going to utilize the illustration later, a couple of chapters later, about speaking in tongues, that benefit primarily the individual unless somebody is present with the gift of interpretation. Kind of makes sense. Like, I can't understand a thing you're saying. Like, unless somebody actually is able to interpret for the whole community, doesn't really benefit the whole community, right? Logically, that totally makes sense. And so there are gifts that can benefit the community to a greater degree. Gifts of teaching, gifts of prophecy, gifts of healing are examples of some greater gifts. That's not an exhaustive list either, by the way. So strive after for these greater gifts. The second implication is that God intends to give more than one gift to an individual or a community. More than one. In my 20 years of following Jesus, I have asked for many different types of gifts from God throughout the years. I do remember as a new believer asking for the gift of speaking in tongues. Actually, that's not exactly what I asked for. What I asked for was a tangible sign that the Holy Spirit was in me. Like as a new believer, I did happen to come to faith in this charismatic church. And I was like, but I did not grow up in a charismatic church. By the way, I grew up in an Episcopalian church. That seems like the opposite of a charismatic church. Those of you who are familiar. Also, lots of great gifts that were there, just not the ones that were in the charismatic church in the same way. At any rate, I was really like not sure about whether the Holy Spirit was in me. I was very doubtful about that. And I just remember praying like on my knees, Lord, does the Holy Spirit live in me? I know the Bible says that, but I feel really uncertain. How will I know? How will I be certain? And just praying. And as I was praying, I happened to be by myself in this case. I had this experience and I found myself speaking in tongues. It was a little unnerving. And at different points, I have asked for other gifts. I have asked for gifts of healing. I have asked for prophetic gifts because I wanted to help people encounter God in a personal way. When I started a new leadership position and in a varsity 5 years ago, I asked for the gift of faith. I knew that there were some really big challenges ahead, and I knew my faith that I had was not enough. I needed more faith. I needed the gift of faith to be able to lead other people in this season. I've asked for gifts of discernment. So why am I sharing all of this with you? It is not to say that I have received all of these gifts, because actually I haven't. I'm pretty sure I don't have the gift of healing, which also doesn't mean I shouldn't pray for people to be healed. But I just don't think I have. My success rate is not that high, right? That's kind of how I'm like, I think maybe I don't have that gift yet. But I could still ask. The point is to ask, right? The point is to ask. Scripture says that God is the giver of good gifts, and we can ask the Father for what we need. But some of us are just not used to seeing God like that, as a generous gift giver. Or seeing ourselves as one who could receive many gifts from the Lord. So, as we prepare to close, and I invite our intercessors to come up to prepare to pray for people, I want you to consider what the Holy Spirit is stirring up in you. And there are two groups of people in particular whom I'd really like to encourage to receive prayer this morning. Because the Holy Spirit empowers every member of the church with gifts for the benefit of all. As I was preparing, I thought of two groups in particular that I thought God might be inviting to receive prayer this morning. The first is a group of folks who have just never asked to receive a spiritual gift. But perhaps this morning you want to do so now. Now, you don't have to pray with somebody to receive a spiritual gift. My first illustration, I was not praying with anybody. I was by myself. But you do have the gift and opportunity of community this morning and people who would pray with you. And so that's a good thing to take advantage of. Maybe you've never asked for a spiritual gift because it just simply never crossed your mind. Maybe you never really had the opportunity. You wanted somebody to pray with you. There are people who are ready to do that this morning. Or maybe the idea weirded you out a bit. You're like, oh, I don't know. I don't really know what I would get or what to ask for. And I'm just not sure. But now you find yourself more open to that idea. So if that's you, if you haven't had chance or thought about asking for a spiritual gift from the Lord, I invite you to do so. And someone will be happy to pray with you. The second group that came to mind are folks who need a fresh gift for a new season or for a hard place or circumstance that they find themselves. Maybe you've got like a new challenge ahead of you. maybe there is particular strain in a relationship or marriage, and you're like, oh, I need like fresh empowerment from the Holy Spirit to believe. I need faith in this season. Maybe there is a new opportunity that you're stepping into, and you're like, oh, I need the Lord to equip me with a gift of leadership or administration. You just know, whatever it is, that there is something new that you need from the Holy Spirit, a fresh empowerment. And if that's you, I invite you to come and to get prayer as well. When you come up, you don't have to say a time. Just say, I want to receive a gift of blank of this from the Holy Spirit, you know, for the season, or I would like to receive this gift. Can you pray for me? Okay. It doesn't have to be super long or uber spiritual. So the worship team will lead us in a closing song. And as they do, I want to invite folks to come up to receive prayer from our intercessors. Especially, as I said, if you've never received a spiritual gift but want to now, if you find yourself in a place of needing a fresh gift of the Spirit for a season in your life. And certainly, if there is anything else that you need prayer for, our intercessors are more than happy to pray for you as well. So Holy Spirit, thank you for being a generous gift giver, for empowering every single one of us, for gifts for the benefit of all. Would you come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen.